been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, here we go again. We are about, we are halfway through the season. The Ravens are officially on a bye week. And what a way to finish Monday Night Football. The Ravens with a dominant, maybe the most dominant victory they've had this entire season against the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans, home of Super Bowl 47. Joining me as always in the mobile studio, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Mobile studio, doing some great things for the Call Podcast. Before we get to that, wait a minute. So you said the Ravens went dominantly. You mean they didn't blow the lead?
Nope.
You're talking about the Baltimore Ravens, who had a big stretch early in the year where, you know, they were talked down on. We had doubters. Me and you were discussing some big issues with this team, and at one point they were 3-3. Who would have thought that they'd be a sixth win in 9 weeks, and going into a bye week with tied with the most wins in the AFC right now at six. It's incredible. And not only that, but you said Monday Night Football win, clean sweep of primetime this year, Brandon. 3-0 right in the primetime window. They have a three-game winning streak. They've won four out of the last five. The Ravens are showing everybody and putting on notice that they're trying to work on and fixing those issues. Every team's got issues, Brandon. Even the 8-0 right now Eagles, right? You know, just because you're unblemished there, every team's got something to work on. And I feel like the Ravens are in a prime spot. You know, coming off a Monday Night Football win, coming off a situation where they've had some key acquisitions, coming off where they're getting the bye week at the right time. They're getting healthy.
I feel like we say that every year.
We do. But look at it. Look at the last, five seasons. Their bye week falls always in the middle of the season, like about that, like end of October, early November, yeah, kind of ish, you know, and it's always worked out in the Ravens' favor because it's always like, depending on their circumstances, it does come at the right time. And not only that, but a win came at the right time. And even though it was 27-13, final score, 14-point win, it was never even close to begin with. It was a 21-point lead with, 3 minutes to go in the game. I know the Saints got a garbage time touchdown. We'll talk a little bit about that. Seemed like some, you know, miscommunication, not finishing the play. But really, can't get really mad at the Ravens. I mean, a decisive win. They ran all over up and down the field on the Saints. And, they were efficient. You know, there were some plays left in the field.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. You know, everything's not perfect. And, you know, we're not going to be all rosy here, you know, but 6-3 record, first place solidifying it. Ravens are looking good heading into a bye week, man.
And
I love it.
People are starting to notice
a little bit
there. You know, you watch Good Morning Football up in Adams, you watch ESPN, any of that kind of stuff. And even on this show, it's a lot of Lamar contract talk, very little bit about Ravens as a team. After this win against New Orleans, I think some people are going, oh, this team's got something. You know, with Roquan Smith now being a part of the defense and Justin Houston just playing out of his mind, people are kind of going, huh, this team might be for real.
You just touched on something I want to bring up. Before, it lived and died with Lamar.
Yep.
If Lamar had a bad game, you knew it because the Ravens probably took an L. And don't get me wrong, he's the quarterback. He touches the ball the most on offense. It orchestrates through eight. But the fact remains is, he wasn't the star on Monday night.
No.
I mean, Kenyon Drake had two rushing touchdowns. The defense and the rushing attack was the focal point of that win. It was Roquan Smith front and center stuffing the run. It was the Ravens having suffocating defense, who apparently, even with the garbage time touchdown, they still held the Saints to a season low in total yards.
Right.
There was a point in the game where the Ravens had more rushing yards as a team than total yards the Saints had on offense. total in the game.
Yeah.
I think it was like in the third quarter that it was surprised. So, and they had him by 20 yards. They showed the graphic. The Ravens had 165 rushing yards, and the Saints had like 140-something in total yards. And I'm like, yeah. Like, this was a top to bottom. I mean, they come out of gate, went out 7-0. You got their – it was masterful. Not only that, but look, I almost couldn't even complain about Greg Roman in this game because I felt like he called a good game. And that's coming from me because I've been critical of Roman as of lately with the creativity and the play calling in that. But I felt like that touchdown with Likely, that was awesome because it just – it moved Lamar out of pocket. They were expecting him to run the football. And, again, they were king on the run. And he hit Likely in stride. That was a beautiful touchdown. Isaiah Likely getting involved. You know, it was great to see. And, the Ravens towards the end of the game had their issues, and we'll talk about the whole, you know, the silent count with Tyler and their inability to get to the line with the play clock running low and that whole stretch where it was like it almost did look like disaster for the Ravens coming undone. And I remember Joe Buck or Troy Aikman, I think it was Aikman, said like if the Ravens would have thrown an interception, Eric Harbaugh would have came unglued or would have lost it. And I'm like, him and everybody in Ravens Nation. But, you know, you had to feel good, man. Prime time. But I was a little critical of 8 at the beginning.
Sure.
I'll be honest with you. He looked jittery. He looked
lost.
On
the Discord, you said he was a little soft.
And I said that. I said, what is it? And I shared it because I was in the group chat. I was like, and I was watching the game with my father, and I was like, what's up with Lamar? Like, he looks indecisive. He looks jittery. I was like, just execute the play. Just ball. I was like, kid, just ball. Like, he looked uptight. Again, it reminded me of that Giants game where I was like, dude, come on. Like, get it in gear. And they settled down, settled in nicely. And yes, Lamar did make some, you know, good plays, but then he also left some plays out in the field, but also so did Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton threw a wide-open touchdown towards the end of the half, or it could have made it 14-7, and it made it 14-3 and in the half. So, call it for what it is, but I thought top and bottom, it was as good of a game this year as I could have watched, you know, because you figured the wins that the Ravens had, even with the Patriots back win in week 3, that was a back-and-forth game, and the Ravens had to finally overcome that late in the second half. Here, coming out 14-0, I really felt like the Ravens, you know, I didn't feel like they were in jeopardy at all to lose this game at all. I mean, we caught it before. Shut down Alvin Kamara. Yep. They're probably more than likely going to win the game, hands down, probably 9 times out of 10, not 10 times out of 10, and that's what they did. But talk about Roquan being an addition. That's why they traded for him. Stuffing the run like old-school Ray Lewis. Dude, that was phenomenal to see, wasn't it?
The defense, it was, we've seen it with the Bucs now. Now we've seen it against the Saints. This defense, they smother the other team's offense. I mean, yes, it was Andy Dalton, so it was a second-string quarterback. But it was, they weren't allowing that offense to breathe. They did anything. There was a Raven on top of these guys. I mean, Marlon Humphrey had probably the best game of his season so far. Tyus Bowser was welcomed back to the team, and he made an immediate impact on the defense.
See that play right in the beginning?
Yeah.
He shot out of a cannon and had, like, Andy Dalton dead to rights 1-on-1. It was phenomenal. So I was really excited to see Tyus Bowser's involvement right away, especially with Roquan.
Right.
David Ojabo was inactive. He'll be back next week. So or the week after the bye. So things are looking up for the Ravens. But, you know, given that they've gotten some guys back, especially on defense, this defensive unit is coming on. And, you know, we'll talk about it later in the year, but they're getting Marcus Williams back supposedly in December. You know, for the offense, we know that J.K. should be back soon. You know, they're going to get Gus Edwards back off the bye. They're going to get David Ojabo on defense off the bye. Tyus just came back with a big impact. Roquan made an immediate impact.
That guy.
And that's thirdly, Justin, man.
Wow, what a game.
He's turning about the clock.
Yeah.
Like,
He looks like he's 24, 25 again.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, wow. You know, this is what he did franchise first. 3 games in a row, multi-sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but he got the pick to set up the 27th point for the Ravens. It was 20-6 at that time. It was like immediately, remember? You know, the Ravens went down, they scored, you know, the Saints got the ball back, and literally like first play, 1st and 10, batted ball, interception, Ravens are right back in business in red zone, punched it right in. It was Kenyon. I love that sequence, by the way. They got the ball back, went right back to the ground game. Kenyon Drake runs 9 yards close to the first down, gets the first down, and then caps it off with a touchdown run. 1, 2, 3, easy.
Yep.
Like, that easy. That's how easy the Ravens had on Monday night. It's kind of like, what more you can say? But there were communications, especially on offense, man. That drive was a little bit suspect with the miscommunications there with, I know this, Tyler, with the silent count. That was being addressed because he had these issues before on the road.
Right.
And, again, rookie, mistakes can be cleaned up. This isn't a veteran, but, you know, you don't want to give him a pass because he's a rook. But,
sure.
Hey, he's got a lot of learning to do with the NFL with that. But, you know, Lamar won the ball, and then we remember it was getting chippy with Lamar barking and Ronnie Stanley and all that, and that was made about a big deal, and the media was trying to twist it, of course.
That made me a little worried as I was watching on Monday. I'm like, oh, they're at each other's throats. Like, this is not good. There's dissension on the offense. But then after the game, it was an interview with Lamar, right? I can't remember the reporter on ESPN, but he was like, you know, he's like, that's my offensive line. That's my teammate. That's my brother. Sometimes you fight with your brothers. It happens, but it seemed like, you know, tensions were high, emotions were high on the field.
Right.
And
it was. And not only that, but it kind of spilled over again with Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
And Chuck Clark, because towards the end of the game, there was a little miscommunication where you got to finish the play. But did you hear the explanation about it?
No, go ahead.
I don't know about it. Did you hear? I was asking.
I didn't.
Harbaugh was asked about that, about the game. And sorry, it looked like you're ready to say something. So I didn't want to take your point away. But Harbaugh was apparently addressing that, saying like, oh, because of he could have stepped out of bounds, or they thought he did, that the Ravens let up on the play because they didn't want to hit him out of bounds because they didn't want to draw the penalty of, right, you know, hitting a guy or at the end of play. So that's kind of what happened in the explanation. I don't know if I buy that. That's what Harb said. But, you know, there's a lot of flavors to social media lit these two up. You know, speaking of Chuck Clark and Marcus Peters for not finishing the play. I mean, allowed a garbage time touchdown, which, you know, not going to name any names, but it lost some folks in fantasy games because of that. So, no, it was not.
Okay.
No. It was close because I was going against Johnson,
uh-huh,
and I won by three, but it was not me. I was
okay.
Close.
All right.
Because the guy, I think it was Juwan Johnson, or I don't know what his name is, Quan Johnson. He caught the touchdown, and I was like, no. Of all people, no. But, no. But in any respect, again, we're seeing Marcus Peters again with a sideline altercation with Harbaugh. A lot of folks had a lot of things to say about that on the socials. You know, Harbaugh addressed that. Obviously, they cooler heads prevailed. They were good. Again, it's the heat of moment. They're competitors. Things are going to happen. But, hey, Ravens, how about finishing the play this time? You know, but whether it was a close game or they're up decisively, it shouldn't happen, period.
Yeah. I mean, watching it live, I was like, what are you guys doing? What are you thinking? You got to finish plays. However, in today's NFL, where things are flagged constantly, there's that thought, I think, that are in a lot of defensive players, like, I can make this hit, but if I hit in the wrong spot or this, that, whatever, it's going to cost my team 15 yards.
Then they get the first down anyway, and then who knows? I mean, yeah, ultimately, it's not a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's a penalty, and it keeps the drive alive. At that point, you know, my memory's a little blur with that part of the game. I don't know what down and distance they had, but, you know, anyway, it shouldn't happen. It couldn't happen. Let's hopefully that's the last of those kind of mental errors, mistakes. And hey, you're right. You know, in hindsight, Brandon, I'd rather take the penalty than the touchdown. I don't care again because it could have been a close game and that could have pulled a win in three or two, or could have had the Saints take the lead. Imagine then we're talking a whole nother mess on our hands going into the bye week. So, but all in all, you know, great performance down New Orleans. I don't know if you got to see the pregame, but Lamar was also interviewed, but also Ray Lewis. They're back down in New Orleans, the site of the Super Bowl 47.
Yeah.
Ray had a little bit. He's still mad about the blackout.
Everybody is.
He's still. I am too.
Yeah.
He's still trying to find a guy. He's like 10 years. I haven't found him. Who's responsible? I'm like, I'm calling conspiracy again. Like, I'm on with Ray on this, and I'm sorry. Like, look, the Ravens were about to blow him out of the gym. It goes off. And then all of a sudden they come back and come within 2 points. Like, it was just a little weird.
Oh, yeah, Torrey Smith on the Purple Playbook this week, Mark Viviano asked him, what happened there? And he goes, look, the Superdome, that housed people during Katrina, and the power stayed on.
And not only that, but it was discovered in that interview, they apparently replaced the energy, or something with the energy or the electricity. They kind of upgraded things in December before the big game. Yeah. Not only that, but never, and even in the guy who was interviewed, right? He said all the contingency plans they had for Super Bowl with disasters, never was a blackout on their list. And I'm like, just something. And then they said it was like a faulty breaker. And I know Ray was like laughing, like, yeah, it ain't no sir. I don't know. It's just fun to talk about after all these years. I mean, could you imagine if they lost that Super Bowl and then that was the big black eye? We'd be crying to do over for years until we're dead. Because, no, you know, you're not going to, you know, come on, dude. But It's all good. Ravens were victorious 10 years ago. They got number two, and the Ravens are trying to get number three. But, bro, they're looking pretty, man. I mean, wins and losses qualified for the playoffs. They got six of them out of nine attempts. We know they could be, shoulda, woulda, woulda, coulda been undefeated. Who knows? You know, look, losses are hindsight. Right now, they got six wins, looking pretty good in first place in the AFC North. And last I checked, wins and losses qualify you for the seeding in the playoffs. Not touchdowns, not yardages, not winning pretty, not losing pretty, whatever. You know, style points, keep those to your fantasy teams. Right now, Ravens are looking good.
Yeah, and we do have to give major credit, like we have with Kenyon Drake, Isaiah Likely, Lamar. This offense was able to put up a bunch of points without Gus Edwards, without J.K. Dobbins, without Rashad Bateman, without Mark Andrews. That's a lot of money to be sitting on the sidelines.
Right, right. And we were actually talking about that the day after, the aftermath, with a lot of my, you know, with a lot of my friends and all. We're like, look, they won decisively on offense. They scored 27 points. Could have scored probably more, maybe. And they didn't have these playmakers.
Yeah.
Like, let's go. I mean, yeah, we want these guys out there. Don't get me wrong. Then it's almost like, okay, if they can do that with that squad, if you put these guys in and interject them, Gus, J.K., Andrews, I mean, Bateman's out for the year. We're not going to have him this year, unfortunately. But, yeah, you know, we're getting the rest of the guys back at some point this season. You know, we already know Mark and Gus are trending towards an appearance in the home game after the bye week. We'll see.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, these guys have been on the shelf for a good bit since the Tampa game. They had a good mini bye week then. They didn't play this week. Then you have another 2 weeks for the game. I think they're going to be primed and ready to go. JK's going to be a few weeks there, but coming off his procedure. But, now I look at it this way. At the break, caught what it is during the bye week, well-deserved. You know, Ravens and their fans need a break, you know, with all the – yeah, the ups and downs this year. I feel like they played nine games. They have a lot more football left, and I feel like it's already been a whole season.
Absolutely,
just with the stresses with these games and the lack of closing out games and the comebacks and some of the injuries that have happened. And you know, we just hope that the Ravens could put their best foot forward and just to preview what's coming. And we'll kind of set the stage for talking about it next week. But coming out of the bye week, you had the Panthers and you had the Jaguars coming out of the gate. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but there's no reason why this team can be 8-3 at the end of November. No reason.
Yeah.
I mean, get healed up, ready to go. Yeah, we understand Lamar's got to, you know, step it up still. We're going to be critical in that. You know, it's not all roses with him either. You know, he's still got to earn the money that he wants. But right now, the Ravens are winners with him.
Yeah.
You know, he threw his 100th touchdown pass on Monday night. You know, him and Flacco are the only Ravens to throw over 100. They're in triple digits in passing touchdowns. The only two Ravens to do it.
Yeah. And how many years has Lamar been with us now?
Five?
Yeah, that's not too shabby.
In perspective, if he signs a long-term contract, or I wouldn't say if, but when, I don't know. If, when, I don't want to put bad juju out there. We don't know what the future holds for anybody here. But if he were to stay, who knows what might happen. But he's only 113 away from beating Flacco in that realm. So, hey, you know, I'm not saying anything there. We'll get to that bridge when we get there. But now, Lamar throwing 100 touchdown passes, already kudos to him. Might not come with a bunch of yards, but what I found funny, and I just want to share this with you, talked about this to a friend of mine. Lamar threw it for 22 attempts, had 130 so passing yards and one touchdown. No interceptions, took care of the ball, no mistakes. They won the game. Patty Mahomes, Sunday night, threw it 60 times.
Yeah. Patty Mahomes, are you that close with him? No.
I can call him Patricia and make fun of him.
He threw 60. Okay.
He threw 60 times for over 400 yards and only one touchdown. Now, granted, he rushed another, and they still had to go to overtime to beat the Titans on Sunday night with no Ryan Tannehill. But that just puts in perspective. I found that fascinating. Both teams won their game. The Ravens won theirs more decisively. Each quarterback in that regard threw one touchdown, but it took Lamar a third of the passing attempts to do it in, and a fourth of the yards, and they still both got a win for their teams, or they're still both credited for a win. So that's just to put it in perspective.
Yeah.
If Lamar had Mahomes' stat line and lost, what would you say then? What's the problem now?
Yeah.
Lamar, this is who they are, and we talked about this in the beginning of the year, now leading up to it. We know who the Ravens are now. They are not a 400-yard passing 30 to 45 attempts from Lamar and throwing for three touchdowns a game. It was fun while it lasted, I'll be honest with you. Lamar having 10 passing touchdowns in the first 3 weeks, He had at least three passing touchdowns in the first 3 weeks in each game. You know, the yardage wasn't there, but it was well over 200 respectively. But, you know, for his stat line and what they're accomplishing, the Ravens, let's call it what it is, they're getting back to their roots. Ground and pound and defense.
Yeah.
And not turning the ball over on offense, being efficient. If they learn to close out the game in against the Giants and don't turn the ball over, easily win that game, then we're talking. They're not 6-3, they're 7-2.
Yeah.
If they learn to, you know, run the football maybe against the Bills instead of trying to get pass happy, maybe they close out that game too. Who knows? But hindsight, I don't want to go there. I'm just trying to use that for example. Now seeing what the Ravens are doing and rushing it for, if my memory serves correctly, .150 in the last three games at least. They've approached 200 yards more often times than not this year with rushing. The Ravens, it's no secret, they're number one rushing attack in the NFL right now. They're getting back to that. Run the football, setting up the timely passing, be timely. This is who they are. And don't ask the Ravens offense to be who they're not. Don't ask Lamar to chuck it. You know, don't call 3, 4, 5, 6 pass plays in a row, Roman. You know, the Ravens are run first, set up with RPOs and play action that's that complex, and let the defense go to work.
Yeah.
And with what this unit's doing right now and how they're gelling and how they're coming along with the addition of Roquan in the middle, it's allowing Queen to do some things. It's allowing the linebackers to do some things and bring freely. It's good to see everybody back, Clayus included, Justin Houston's balling. These guys are looking good, man. And what a great win on Monday night, man. What a great win.
Absolutely.
And you heard the flock present towards the end of the game. You heard them chanting.
You heard Seven Nation Army. Yep.
You heard it. And I know a lot of folks that were down there too. It was good to see the Ravens contingent traveling well. So, but you know, Ravens on the bye, get the rest a little bit, and the third Sunday in a row of no Ravens football with the bye.
That's right.
It was pretty cool to watch, you know, NFL Red Zone and take in all the football games and fantasy. And I know you partook in some wing action on
That's
Monday
right.
night.
Yeah.
Did you?
I was at Costa's Inn in Dundalk. And, I had some Old Bay hot sauce wings, and there was some nachos.
And
nachos
sure some ranch was involved.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They were smart. They gave two sauces with the wings.
No.
Both ranch.
No.
It was awesome.
No.
It's the best. I'm going there all the time now.
I'll get you on a blue cheese train. We have to figure out this bet. We got to do something. Or maybe at the end of the year, we'll sit down and partake in some wings to celebrate the end of the season, and maybe we'll dabble in each other's sauces here. The blue cheese versus ranch debate.
Now we have something special coming up next week for the bye week. It's going to be exclusively on Discord. So make sure you join our Discord server, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join us there. Josh and I are going to do a taste test. Will it be ranch and blue cheese? Absolutely not. No. We are going to do a taste test of the tailgate candy corn.
What are
that
you
was put out.
What?
So we've got...
Time out. And I love candy corn.
Okay, yeah.
I know
too.
You...
I do too.
See, me and you were like, at least we can agree on that,
yeah,
right? Because
yeah.
A lot of everybody I know, oh, it tastes like wax. Throw it in the trash. You know what you do with candy corn? You get it from the store, and you throw it in the trash, and go get some real candy. I'm like, you know what? That's fine. More candy corn for me and you. Because
yeah,
I don't know why. I love it. And not only that, but while I'm on a candy rant, I'm one of the very few that loves black licorice.
I
love
black
licorice.
No, I'm not there with
you.
That's
okay. It's more for me because I love some black licorice. Give me the black Twizzlers all day long.
Yeah, so we're going to do a taste test live over on Discord, and it's tailgate candy corn. So we've got different flavors like hot dog and cheeseburger, I think, is one of them.
Hot flavored candy corn.
And we're going to taste test them. We're just going to try them out and see what they're going to be.
I'm going to find a ranch one in there, like ranch and wings, and throw it in. You're probably going to throw it in there with me, too, aren't you?
That would be nice. I think there are, like, potato chips or cheese curls or something out there with ranch and buffalo sauce.
I'm sure there are.
We should try those. But let's talk about something that's actually pretty tasty. Let's talk about something we just got to do. This is why we're in the mobile studio today. We got to talk with Ravens tight end Mark Andrews.
That's right.
History being made in this 10th season of The Call. We have our first active Ravens player on the podcast, and we get to sit down with Mark, do a little interview with him, talk about what he was doing today and his company and stuff like that. So it was really cool.
It was, and not only that, but Brandon, it just shows you how far we've grown and come. I mean, who'd have thought? You know, I don't care if it took us another 20 years to get there. I mean, that would have been a long time, but no, it's really special for us to, you know, finally have the moment and breakthrough, you know, for all of you, you know, too, the listeners, being very supportive over the years. And, you know, it's not just something me and Brandon can celebrate, but everybody. You know, we do the show for everybody out there, and we love the feedback we get, you know, the interactions we get. And, you know, we want to present some good quality content. And finally, it took us 10 years, but we're there.
Yeah.
You know, what a special year for the call, man. We eclipsed 10 years together.
Yeah, 300
episodes.
Yep.
Jimmy Seafood Celebration with that.
Yep.
And not only that, but we present to you our very first Ravens player being interviewed and featured on the Call Podcast. Mark, we certainly appreciate that, and thank you so much for the opportunity to do that with you. And we now present to you the interview with the great Ravens tight end, Mark Andrews.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Call Podcast. Brandon and Josh on location, and what a treat we have for everybody here today. Two-time Pro Bowler, Baltimore Raven, tight end, Mark Andrews. Mark, how are you doing today?
Great. You know, Brandon, Josh, thank you guys for having me on. I'm excited about it. Just had a great time here at the Boys and Girls Club, you know, hanging out with these kids.
Absolutely, Mark. So that's where I want to lead in. Tell us a little about why we're here today and what the event's about.
Yeah, you know, we're here at the Boys and Girls Clubs and working with Rockin' Protein. It's one of my deals out in Arizona. It's something I've been using for a long time. It's a part of my regimen of, you know, how I keep low sugar, but something that still tastes good, has high protein, high source protein, and, you know, keeps me on track, keeps me strong, keeps me healthy, and, you know, trying to get back on the field right now, obviously. But, you know, just being here with these kids and for them to sponsor this and for them to, you know, put out some charity for this Boys and Girls Club is awesome. You know, you know, you see the look on these kids' faces. It's just an incredible experience.
Absolutely. I had a chance to absolutely see you in action a little bit ago, and, you know, to see everybody so excited and so joyful and playful out there. So you mentioned charity. Why are events like this so important to you and the organization?
I think it's huge. Anytime you can get back into a community, and especially when you have a partnership with a team like Rockin' Protein, who's big into that. You know, anytime you can team up with someone like that, that's, you know, sees the value in that. It's huge. So means a lot to me. But it's awesome that it also means a lot to Rockin' Protein.
Now, some of these kids actually came in before the interview, said that they could beat you in Madden. Is that something that you got? Was there a lot of, like, you know, kids talking to you that way on the just having fun with you?
Yeah, you know, it's just fun being around kids. You know, just their natural spirit, the competitiveness in them. You know, they just always want to compete. They always just want to have fun, and their energy is contagious.
Now, you on the field, it's kind of like you are unstoppable. You know, it is, you have this, like, never settle for, like, 1 yard type of thinking, and you always want to get 5, 10, 15 yards, whatever you can when you get the ball. Is that something, that type of attitude, something that you grew up with, or is that something that you kind of learned along the way from certain coaches or something like that?
I think you learn things along the way. I think, you know, I've learned a bunch from, one, having older siblings and me being the youngest, just competing with them, trying to, you know, always looking up to them, but always trying to, you know, live up to that, you know, be on the same level as them. And, you know, obviously I've had incredible coaches throughout the way that have, you know, helped me to get me where I am and taught me, you know, life lessons. And obviously Coach Harbaugh is one of the best that I've had. He's been incredible for me and, you know, just my growth. And I think I've changed a lot since college to now. And it's a credit to the coaches that we have and guys like Coach Harbaugh.
Again, it seems like you never settle. You're never happy with what you've got. You're always working for something else. You're always trying to do better. Is that something that you also want to instill in the youth when you go out to programs like this and some of the things that you're teaching them?
100%. You know, that's what it's all about, is trying to, you know, the least you can do is pass it on, pass the mindset on to be better, to be the best person that you can be, to always strive for greatness. And, you know, that was my word to these guys today, is just keep being themselves, you know, find something that you love in life and go attack it. Go be great, and the rest will follow.
Were there some future Baltimore Ravens in this group today?
there were definitely some future Baltimore Ravens guys. There was a couple of Pittsburgh ones, but we had a great crowd. These kids were awesome.
Now, Mark, I want to ask you, Rockin' Protein, you know, is it fairly new? You said it's your project in Arizona. Now, can we find it in stores around here, or where can we find Rockin' Protein?
Yeah, I mean, any really convenience store. I know Giants, stuff like that, you can find them around. This is something that, you know, when I was in high school, I was they were just kind of starting to get there in, and, you know, so my high school had it and everything like that. So it's been cool kind of see the full circle of, you know, how it's come around and for me to be able to be sponsored by them and to be able to use it in my everyday life to help me.
Very well. And what flavors can we expect?
the chocolate and vanilla are always go-tos. Yeah, they have this one with caffeine. It's a caramel latte.
Oh, caffeine.
Caramel latte. Yeah, it's so good.
You got my
attention. It's like the early morning. Gives you a little pep, but tastes so good. They also have a strawberry one, and they have different kinds. There's a builder one. Just depending on the time of day, how you're working, they do a good job of kind of mixing it up. And the flavors are amazing. It's smooth, and there's not much sugar, which is the best part.
Very well. I'll be sure to pick up some. Absolutely.
Thank you, brother.
All right, Mark, thank you so much for your time. We really do appreciate it here on the Call Podcast. This has been absolutely fantastic. We can't wait to see you back on the field, getting touchdowns, mowing some people down,
yeah.
You know, trying for all that. So thank we can't you. Wait for it again, but thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, big thank you to Shamrock Farms Rockin' Protein for the invite, allowing us to be a part of this. And how awesome was that? Interviewing Mark Andrews, what an awesome dude. Coming here to a Boys and Girls Club here in Baltimore, being with the kids, practicing with them, that's something the kids will never, ever forget. I mean, that is huge for a Baltimore Raven to come here, share his time with these kids, inspire them. Maybe we're going to see one of them on the Ravens roster.
Absolutely, absolutely. And not only that, but, you know, prior to interview, I actually got a chance to, you know, be in the gym with the event going on, got some great pictures and photo and videos and with the interaction, just seeing Mark, you know, enjoy the time with the kids, and the kids, you know, gravitated towards him. They were joking, laughing, carrying on with him. It was a great sight to see. And you know, what a great partnership that the Ravens have with the community, to allow players to have the ability to do stuff like this. This is wonderful. It's great. And I can't wait to see what else is in store with the community as far as the Ravens involvement is concerned. But it was really great to see, you know, what the Boys and Girls Club is all about here in Baltimore, and you know what they're doing. This is great.
Absolutely. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, go over and join our Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and you can talk with us on game day and our game day chat, our tailgate chat, all those places. Show us your flock feast wherever you are enjoying a Ravens game, what you're eating, what you're into. Would love to have everybody over on our Discord, and you got to do it because next week will be our live taste test of the tailgate candy corn. So you'll have to check that out. Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and we're always sharing all kinds of information all over the place that we can find over on the web that we think you guys will enjoy. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, it's a bye week. You still got to take us out the way you always do.
Even though it's a bye week?
Even though it's a bye week.
I can't take a week off too?
No.
Come on.
No.
All right, well, enjoy the bye week. Rest up. Enjoy some football. It's going to be a long 2 weeks. It's going to be okay, but we're going to feel like the Ravens are going to come back in the second half ready to rock, ready to roll, ready to show them they can take the AFC North crown. And who knows what's in store from there. Marching on to championship number 3. Let's have about it. But until then, everybody, call faithful. Enjoy the bye week. That being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.